Come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out do.
Come over here, kid. Lay some. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys something. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. I'm trying to talk without an accent, okay? Thanks for joining us. I'm Barbara Iannoli, sitting in for Mouthful's regular host. Michelle will be back next week. And tonight, I am the boss. I used to have a radio show on Crush where we did book reviews for about 4 years. Carolina Claire and I, we were the name of our show was Broad's Eye View. You might remember us. You should remember us. Now I'm doing some work with Farm Trails, which links consumers with farmers and local farms, and it's also sponsors the Gravenstein Apple Fair, which is a heritage fair, been around forever, and that's coming up, and so people should come to that. And I have a special guest tonight, and she's a very special guest, and her name is Michelle Anna Jordan. She's written 17 books and contributed to more than a dozen others. She's a regular columnist in the Press Democrat, a 5 times James Beard nominee, and a Beard Award winner, and in 1989 was voted Best Local Chef in the Sonoma County Art Awards. Her 9th book, California Home Cooking, was honored as Best Cookbook of the Year in the 1998 Small Press Awards. She's been a guest on TV and radio throughout the country, and you know her as host and producer of Mouthful, which is tonight's show, which I am now taking over. Our guest is Michelle Anna Jordan, here with her new book, Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings. Good evening, Michelle.
Thanks for having me, Barbara.
I am in the big seat, so please control yourself. this book, Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings, I have to say, you know, I like cookbooks, and there's, you know, maybe 20 things in a cookbook you can cook. Vinaigrettes is fabulous. It's just fabulous. It makes me want to weep. I mean, I could take a bath in salad dressing, let's face it. And now I can bathe in a variety of salad dressings that make me extremely happy, and they're simple. So, what made you decide to do a cookbook just on salad dressings?
Actually, a publisher asked me to do it.
Really?
I had gone down, in 1987, Harvard Kumman Press published California Home Cooking, and then we didn't really have much contact with each other after that. It was not my best experience writing a book, we'll put it that way. But the book has never gone out of print, and it's sold. I get little tiny royalty checks, and they, about 3 years ago maybe, they contacted me, and they reissued about 5 of their regional American cookbooks with new covers under this umbrella, American Home Cooking. Mm-hmm. And I was really flattered. And they, you know, they consulted me about the cover. I didn't have total control, but I had some input. And then the publisher was coming to Book Passage, a publisher, an associate publisher, and they asked me to come down for lunch. And at that point, they were doing a series of titles, and I think they still are, and they're 50 recipes. And we were brainstorming. They wanted to do one on flavored butters, and I wanted that job, you know, because I can write about flavored butters all day long, and I'm working on a bigger book about butter. And so Bruce, the publisher, went up and he said, well, how do you feel about salad dressings? I looked at him and I said, you know, I could write that book in my sleep. You want it? So he told me it wasn't a very good advance. And so I told him, if you're not going to give me a very good advance, I'm going to give you a 2-page proposal. If you want the book, I'll give, you know, if you want me to tell you about the book, I'll do it in 2 pages and I'll do it for a low advance, but I won't do a major proposal. So over Christmas, I was in Mississippi and New Orleans, and I just kicked out the 2-page proposal. They said, cool, do it. And I wrote the book. I turned it in, I think it was due March 15th. That's a very fast turnaround time. Really? Most people get 1 to 3 years to write a book. That's pretty standard, and then a year to produce it. But, gosh, I think we signed the contract in February. I was done with the manuscript before I even got the tiny advance. Mm-hmm. I turned it in April 1st. And didn't hear from them. And because things had not gone well with California Home Cooking, I was a little nervous, even though I felt it was strong.
Right.
So I get a call from my editor, and he said, well, we had a meeting today, and we're taking the book out of the 50 recipe group. We love this. Everyone loves it. We think it's really strong. We want you to add another chapter, and we're going to put more money into it, and we're going to do full photography. And we're going to make it larger, physically larger, larger format. And so I had my agent say, okay, well, she's giving you another chapter. How much more advance are you giving her? And it's like, well, none. you know, that's the realities of writing, especially it's the reality of writing today. So they had wanted me, my editor's idea was that I add another chapter, think up another chapter on salad dressings. And I said, no, let's do a chapter of salads.
Yes.
And they loved that idea. So the book actually has, I think it has 63 or 64 actual recipes. But then because I do variations, you really end up getting about 200 to 250 recipes in the book.
Definitely. And a lot of great information, I might add.
Thank you.
A lot of great information. One of my favorite bits of information, if I can interject.
Yes.
Is don't put anything in your olive oil. Just let olive oil be olive oil.
Be olive oil.
I'm so happy to hear that. You know,
all these flavored olive oils, and now they started all these flavored, not just flavored vinegars, and some are okay.
Yeah.
But now they're doing flavored balsamic vinegars.
Oh, yeah.
It's an American thing, and it's just so annoying.
It's true. And when I first came to California, I was horrified.
Where did you come to California from?
I came to California. I grew up in... I grew up in Kentucky. No. I grew up in Rhode Island, and I'm from an Italian family. And we didn't put anything in our olive oil.
Yeah. Why would you?
We loved our olive oil. Yeah. We slaved over it. We hugged it. We kissed it. And then I come out here, and somebody's throwing rosemary in it and all this other stuff. I mean, I was horrified. Yeah. And bread. So anyway, I was really, there's so much good information. I didn't know about that mortar and pestle thing.
Oh, the suribachi.
That is great.
It's cheap. It never breaks unless you drop it really hard. You know,
it's beautiful.
Suribachi is a great, great device.
Right.
Everyone who cooks should have a suribachi.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what a suribachi is, it's a bowl that's scored on the inside. It's scored porcelain. And it's like a mortar, only it's not slippery, so you don't have the garlic popping out like it does out of a slick mortar.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, I really appreciate that kind of information. You know, little bits of information, because I do the same thing over and over again because I don't know how to think about what to do. So this book is just fantastic. Panzanella salad, hello, go to the end of the book, make that panzanella salad until you drop. I love that salad. It's really nice salad.
And did you eat bread salad when you were a kid?
Yeah.
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 So I think we didn't, unless you were in an Italian family, you never heard of it until about 15 years ago.
Right. Panzanella. My grandmother made bread, and then she took the crusts when they were stale, and she soaked them in vinegar and oil, and we ate that for breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know.
No wonder you have such a great accent.
Okay.
So one of the things... that I was really well, there are two things I was really happy they let me do in this book. And I have to say, part of the reason writing California Home Cooking was so miserable, they hired a copy editor that I still, 13 years later, 16 years later, I still have fantasies of hurting her extremely badly. She was a nightmare. She destroyed the basically, she wanted to write a book. Mm-hmm. And she destroyed the manuscript. I got it on my birthday. I was going to be going to the south of France with friends. I had to cancel everything I was doing for the summer and retrieve my manuscript from this overly aggressive copy editor. Yeah. It was really horrible. And so one of the things I talked about before I signed the contract was, let's talk about copy editor. Can I have input on who you hire?
Right.
And they hired, I'm in love with the copy editor. She was the whole team. They just had the best team. The copy editor, they also did a line editor.
Yeah.
The line editor loved my work. The copy editor, she says, you just need to know I'm not changing your voice.
Right.
And they were brilliant. Yeah. They had me expand certain things. The little tiny things they caught were good things to catch. I mean, everything was just such a great experience. But one of the ideas I got to do while I was working on this, and it comes out of something that annoys me, and we're always so good together talking about things that annoy us.
Many things.
I don't like being surprised by sweet flavors in savory dishes.
I don't like sweet flavors in savory dishes. I don't like sweet flavors unless I'm eating a brownie.
Yeah. And there was a chef, I can't name the chef because I forget his name, and that restaurant is no longer here. But there was a chef, and it was pricey, and it was, you know, he was wanting to be all fancy, and if I were queen of the world, you know, I would have gone into his kitchen and made him take three things out of every dish he made. Mm-hmm. And every single thing he ever made had something sweet. He would put, you're going to die, he would put sugar in his olive oil. He would these olive oil infusions with two or three ingredients. And was almost always, one of the things was sweet, and he would heighten the sweetness with sugar. And I never ate anything at his restaurant that wasn't sweet.
Wow.
And it just drove me nuts. And I think it's a real infantilization of the palate.
It is.
And, you know, Americans are prone to that.
Yes.
You know, eat dessert first. Are you crazy?
Yes.
You'd miss the cheese. You'd miss the steak tartare. You'd miss the potatoes.
It's a simple flavors.
Yeah.
It's the simple flavors. And that one of the things I do love about this cookbook is there's an accent on simple flavors, well blended.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have good ingredients... If you have good ingredients.
You don't need to cook complicated.
Right.
Yeah, good ingredients.
Right.
Well, what I did, the thing that I liked, I did this when I turned on the manuscript, and at the top of every recipe, I described it with various, like one apple cider vinaigrette. And there are reasons that sometimes you want something a little sweet. Apple cider, I do qualities that describe the characteristics. So apple cider vinaigrette has sweet, tangy, rich.
Right.
Let's open it. Let's look at another one. I do that for every single recipe in the book. Creamy green peppercorn mustard vinaigrette. Savory, tangy, spicy, creamy.
And I want that right now.
Okay, let's see if we can wiggle our noses. So I do that. And I thought, oh, you know, they're not going to go for this. They're going to think, oh, this is too weird. They totally went for it.
Yeah.
They did a nice layout with it. And then in addition to the variations, which you can talk if you want to ask me about why I do those, I'll talk about that. But then they boxed off my best uses.
That was fabulous.
And so I really want people to – I didn't want people to dismiss the book by thinking, oh, greens, you know,
right.
Salad greens. So I did
right.
best uses.
Right.
And that expands the whole idea from green salads to fried fish and everything in between.
Oh, I put salad dressing on everything. And back east, we dip French fries in salad dressing.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It's fantastic.
We're getting looks from the engineer.
Okay. Why are they looking at us?
He's going to tell us.
Well, I'm breaking in to remind our listeners that it is a pledge break. And Kirby and I are sitting here looking at each other, hearing about this green peppercorn vinaigrette, saying, oh my God, I'm hungry. I really want to get this book. I want to know how to get this book. And I've got to renew my pledge, so I'm going to renew tonight so I can get the book.
Well, you know, Mike, that's really a coincidence, because I'm going to tell you right now exactly how you can do that.
Oh, great.
This is absolutely a wonderful book. And if you enjoy having this kind of programming where we have local deliciousness available right here on public radio, give us your vote for that by giving us a call right here at the station at 584-2020. And if you call right now and you give us your $60 contribution, we will be happy to share this book with you, Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings by Michelle Anna Jordan. It could change your life. It'll certainly change the way you eat. And we were talking here this evening about putting salad dressing on everything. Think about that for a little bit. Before you do that, pick up the phone and call 584-2020.
And now we're going to go to a little bit of a musical break, and we'll be standing by to answer the phones.
Coming from the city, walking to the door.
Thank you for that call. We're having a couple, so if the line's busy, we've only got one person. Kirby's here answering the phone, so if the line's busy, call back. And if you're online, you can hit the pledge button and then put in the comment saying you want the Vinaigrettes book. We're happy to do that for you. And now we're going to go back to... Sorry?
Give the number again.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 584-2020 is the number, so we're not using the 800 number. We're calling because the book is right here in the studio, and we'd love to hear from you.
And I should add, even though I'm here as guest and not as host, I can't. This is probably my 35th, 45th pledge. If you're listening outside of the area, 707, put that in front of the 584-2020. And the website is krcb.org. So if you're listening through iTunes, which is how I listen to the radio because I'm in this weird little hollow, you have to switch over to krcb.org, go to Radio 91, and then click on the pledge button. And it's not listed as a premium. The book, Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings, is not listed as a premium, but we have it on good authority from our wonderful program director, Robin Pressman, that if we just put that into your comments section, we will make it work.
Yeah, don't select any of the other premiums, but put it in the comments section.
And again, the phone number is 707-584-2020.
And Kirby's standing by waiting to take your call. So give us a call. And now we'll go back to Barbara and Michelle and Vinaigrettes.
Make your pledge. Okay, Michelle, I want to know about all these variations.
Okay. Well, one of the things, and it I should say this book, and increasingly everything I write about food is based on how I eat. And that's seasonal. You know me, we see each other at the farmer's market.
Yeah, right.
I don't go to grocery stores all that often because these days, farmer's markets, you can get seafood. You get the best seafood. You get the best meats.
Right.
You get really great bread. I have to go to farmer's markets for Diamond Crystal kosher. I mean, I have to go to grocery stores for Diamond Crystal kosher salt and yogurt.
Right.
It's the only farmer's market I know of in Sonoma County that has yogurt is Sonoma Valley, and I don't get over there that often.
Yeah.
So I cook seasonally. And I realized as I was writing the book, and that's, I'm very much an advocate for that. And that's, I mean, that's a tidal wave now in
right.
society. People are really doing that. And so let's take one of the salads that's in the book, Insalata Caprese. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. It's one of the classic Italian salads. And it really annoys me to see it on a menu in January because it's sliced mozzarella,
oh, yeah.
tomatoes, and basil. I don't want tomatoes and basil in January if I'm in the Northern Hemisphere.
No.
And so I decided that what I would do with Insalata Caprese, and I think I can find it fairly quickly, I would do seasonal variations of that classic salad. And I just served one on Thursday night. I was a chef at Worth Our Weight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For their benefit, here we go. It is on page 138. And so I decided I was going to do, as one of my courses, the spring caprese. And the spring caprese, I know I can do it by memory, but I'll look and see in the book. Okay. It has favas, fresh favas that you shell and blanch. It has really thinly sliced French breakfast radishes and thinly sliced spring onion. That goes over the mozzarella fresca and then with really good olive oil. And because chives, I love chives anytime, but chives in the spring are just so wonderful. So it gets chives really, really thinly, we call them snip chives. And then I finished it off at Evelyn's with some chive flowers and it was so pretty.
Oh, beautiful.
And it tastes so much better than mealy tomatoes at this time of year. So I do, for the Insalata Caprese, I do, let's see, I have a parsley and onion caprese, a cherry tomato caprese, burrata caprese. And those are not seasonal variations. Those are variations on the classic summer one.
Right.
And then I have savory fall caprese, sweet fall caprese, because a lot of people really like figs with mozzarella and grapes. And then I have a winter caprese, and then the spring caprese, and a pasta caprese. So I'll take a classic recipe,
right?
And I'll do the variations that I tend to do in my own kitchen,
right?
And based on seasonal ingredients. And that's Joey saying, "Have you called yet?"
We have some wild dogs in here.
That's why I do the variations because we don't have. Because we have seasons.
Right.
People say California doesn't have seasons. That's not true. We have seasons, and we have seasons all over the country.
Right.
And I really think that when you eat seasonally, you eat better.
I agree with you. And that's what we did at the store when I had Northlight. At our cafe, we ate whatever I got at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
We didn't even really need a good cook. Just somebody to take this fresh, local, seasonal stuff and put it together. And it's just the best way to eat.
Yeah. I did a lecture at the library on, yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing a series of lectures at all of the Sonoma County regional libraries. And yesterday was the first one. It was in Windsor. There were four people. There was a lot going on yesterday. One woman said, "You cook only for yourself, right?" Meaning daily, meaning yeah. I'm not cooking for a husband or a big family right now. So, I cook for myself. And she says, "Don't you get really bored? Don't you get bored like thinking up something new to cook and then having to eat the same thing for 4 or 5 days?" I was like, wow, never.
No.
And first of all, if you have something really good, I can eat it for a couple weeks.
Till you drop.
Yeah. So, and I think that if you get bored with your diet and feel like you're eating the same thing all the time and you're not enjoying things, I think you're not eating seasonally,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, favas are just about gone already.
No, don't say that.
Well, we've got a few more weeks, but that heat is...
It's killed, yeah.
Yeah, it's toughening them up.
Yep.
So you love favas?
I love favas more than almost life itself.
Okay, well, somebody now plants favas to fix nitrogen in their soil, and she gives them to me. Oh. And they're a little ways away, so you get half.
Oh, great.
You get half of whatever I get. I'll just give you a call when they come.
This is what happens when you're the boss at KRCB for Mouthful, is you start getting food.
Absolutely. That happens at Mouthful. Oh, and you got a little thank you gift for sitting in that seat. Do you want to ask about that?
What is this? Serrano something or
It's Meyer Lemon Marmalade. A friend gave me, Jim and John gave me a bushel of lemons.
Uh-huh.
They have one of those incredibly prolific Meyer lemon trees, and they juiced like two bushels, and their freezer was full. And they, Jim said, could I drop by a bushel of Meyer lemons? And to me, it's like, if I have lemons, I feel rich.
Yeah.
You know, give me lemons, I'm rich. In fact, I'd posted something on the Wacko bulletin board. We'll trade almost anything for lemons. And I traded broken jewelry and cracked pottery to a woman who does collage with disabled people for two big bags of lemons. Anyway, they brought me this bushel of Meyer lemons. I thought, you know, I think I should experiment with marmalade. So I made four kinds of marmalade. I had thyme flowers, so I made one with thyme. I made one with a lot of ginger, or a significant amount of ginger, mm-hmm. one with less ginger. And then this one has both ginger and serrano. But the thing that works so well, because I know you don't have a fire pot, you know, you don't like really hot things.
No.
The thing that worked, and it's not so much indicative of my skill as it is indicative of the particular serranos that I used, you get the flavor of the serrano, which I love, but no heat.
Yeah.
No heat.
That's great. I love the flavor.
I thought you did.
Say in here, if you don't want the heat, take the seeds out.
Yeah.
And if you do want the heat, leave the seeds in.
Yeah.
I love that.
That doesn't work 100% of the time, because there are some, partly it's soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's the soil. It's also the original planting.
Right.
Some serranos, I could put three. I'm making salsa. I could put three or four serranos with seeds into a salsa. No heat at all. I could seed another serrano and put a quarter of it and not be able to eat it.
Yeah.
It just really varies. But the first thing to do, you know you don't like heat, get rid of the seeds.
Yeah. That was good. That was a very good tip.
Anyway, I like this with... I like it with really good bread and a whole lot of butter, and then the marmalade and a little tiny bit of Maldon sea salt.
Now, what is Maldon sea salt?
Maldon sea, you know what Diamond Crystal kosher salt is? Well, Maldon sea salt is made in the same way. It's called the grainer method.
Uh-huh.
But the crystals, it's very dry. Both salts, they're very dry. They bring the flavor to your palate very quickly because they're dry but soft. So they dissolve very quickly, and as they dissolve, they bring those flavors to your palate, which is one of the main functions of salt. But the Maldon, which is made in England, the crystals are larger. It has to do with the production method. It's significantly larger. So if you're doing, say, a nice piece of grilled lamb or the salad, the salad caprese, Maldon sea salt adds that little crunch between your teeth.
Yeah.
And if you want, I would tell you the craziest thing I've ever done with vinaigrette and sea salt.
Well, tell us.
You want me to tell you now?
Of course.
Well,
let's wait till next week when I'm the host again.
We could tease. Should we get three more calls and then I'll tell you?
Okay.
I made, this will sound crazy, and it is. I made a chocolate vinaigrette.
You made a chocolate vinaigrette?
Yes.
Well, that sounds like it could be the perfect food.
It was... The inspiration came, and I would like to have the people from the Kieferi on Mouthful when I'm back in the driver's seat. But do you know the Kieferi?
Oh, yeah.
In Sebastopol? Well, I always forget the owner's name.
Me too. Jeff?
Is it Jeff? Big, tall guy?
Yeah, I don't know if it's horrible.
He was passing out samples at the Sebastopol Farmers Market, and I tried the root beer because I love root beer. It's the only thing like that I like. And he had a chocolate. I was like, nah, I'm not my... Oh, he said, please try it. Do this for me. Try it. So I tried it. And what's interesting is it has all of the flavor of chocolate, but it doesn't have chocolate texture.
Ah.
It's not thick in the mouth. Because, you know, it's made out of like fermented water or something like that. So I started thinking about it. And when I was planning the menu for Worth Our Weight dinner, and I wanted to keep that salad theme through every course, all of a sudden it just popped into my head, oh my God, chocolate vinaigrette, I can figure this out. So I roast in salt and pepper, one of my favorite recipes. I make this a lot in the summer. I like to roast sliced strawberries, mm-hmm. put a little sugar so they make their own juice, and then roast them in the oven with a bunch of good black peppercorns. I just love that flavor.
Oh, my God.
So I put, for the dessert I ended up, I put some creme fraiche in the bottom of a wine glass, and then I put the roasted strawberries. And then going back to my second book, The Good Cook's Book of Oil and Vinegar, I made balsamic vinegar gelato.
Oh, my God.
And put that, went on top of the strawberries, and then alongside was the vinaigrette, the chocolate vinaigrette, and it was up to people whether they wanted to drink it or pour it on top of this.
How cool.
And the chocolate vinaigrette involved the fermented, the chocolate kefir, but don't think the kind of kefir that's made from milk. It's much different. It's very lean on your palate.
Oh, great.
And I had half a gallon that he so nicely donated to Worth Our Weight. To half a gallon, I added a cup of Vivo vinegar.
Uh-huh.
I used the Sauvignon Blanc vinegar. It had the right taste. And then I added zest of 6 oranges, so quite a bit of orange zest, and a whole lot of white pepper, because white pepper has that has a slightly fermented flavor.
Uh-huh.
And we set it on a plate with some mint leaves, and then they had a little ramekin of the chocolate vinaigrette, and they could just, you know, you could shoot it if you want, because it was good that way, or you could just put it on top, and it was really good.
Was it really good?
Yeah, it was really excellent.
It sounds really good.
It was excellent.
It sounds really good.
You know, I was going to say, I told you the craziest thing I did with, to top that off, that whole thing off with just a bit of Maldon sea salt. It makes the whole, it brings the whole thing together, and it just makes it like soar.
And you can get Maldon sea salt anywhere?
Yeah, for a while it was weird. You could only buy it at Sur La Table.
Really?
Yeah. For when Nicole, my daughter, got married in June of 2010, I needed Maldon sea salt. I'm doing the food for my daughter's wedding. I need the sea salt. No, Traversos couldn't get it anymore. No one had it. Exclusive. Distributor. But
Okay.
Now I find it, I think I found it in Oliver's, found it in other places now.
Good.
So I don't think that lasted very long. The thing is, it should only be used as a finishing salt, because it's too expensive. You don't throw it in pasta water or blanching water because it's too expensive. You just use it for finishing salt.
Okay.
It has a great texture and a very pure flavor.
Really nice. I only use the kosher salt.
Oh, yeah. You know. I have like 30 salts in my house, and right now I ran out of diamond crystal salt, which happens like once every 10 years. I have no salt.
Yes.
So I have to stop at the store on the way home tonight to get diamond crystal. Nothing is right without diamond crystal.
No. And how can you make this dressing in bigger quantities and save it?
You can. There's a couple of things you should know when you do that.
Okay.
For example, garlic gets an off taste after a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these recipes, not all of them, but most of these recipes are designed to be made in 10 minutes or less, used, and then remade the next day if you want more.
Right.
But some of them, especially, you know, there's one chapter on creamy dressings.
Yes.
Those can certainly last longer. I happen to have, thanks to a Mouthful guest, I had quite a bit of blue cheese.
Nice.
And so I made a larger batch of the blue cheese dressing that's in here. And one of the things I love to do, I love to get just those little gem or Tom Thumb lettuce at the farmer's market. Open up the jar because I had this nice pretty crock that I'd actually made in a pottery class a couple centuries ago. And I'll just get those nice lettuce leaves and dip it into the dressing.
Yeah.
And I think I did that for a week and that dressing was fine. But nothing with very much fresh garlic. I don't put a lot of herbs.
No.
I put herbs in salad, like pieces of
me too.
Fresh herbs, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You have such a vast knowledge of, like, the knowledge about, depends on how Serrano peppers are grown. I think your next book, if we can jump ahead.
Sure.
Should be on all these little things. I want to now make blue cheese dressing and dip out leaves in it. I mean, it's that kind of stuff that you don't even think of.
Well, that's actually in the book.
Yes,
that's
and in you're a natural at that. You know how to eat.
I know how to eat.
Yeah, and I love it. Is that all in here?
That's all in there.
Oh,
that's
great.
All. I mean, but that sort of thing, use it as a dip. And we did this at Wow. For appetizers, I did deviled eggs with chermoula. That's one of the photographs in there.
Yeah.
And chermoula is typically considered a sauce and not a salad dressing, but I wanted to incorporate that because chermoula is one of the best things on the planet. I can eat it out of the jar.
What is it?
Chermoula is North African, primarily Moroccan, and it has lemon, garlic, cilantro, parsley, and then a range of paprikas.
Uh-huh.
I do sweet, hot, and smoked, or I'll do instead of smoked paprika because I'm here where there's great chipotle powder. I use chipotle powder. So it's the sort of condiment that goes on fish, it goes on meats,
mm-hmm.
Similar to the chimichurri that you get with meat in Argentina.
Yeah.
Similar to really Italian style salsa verde.
That salsa verde recipe is Fabulosity.
Love.
Fabulosity Incorporated. Go
Thank
to
you.
The salsa verde recipe and make some tonight.
Yeah.
It's simple and it's delicious.
Put it on grilled
Everything.
Asparagus.
Put it on pancakes.
Put it, you know how it's really good? Yogurt.
Yeah.
Oh, salsa verde chimichurri, chermoula. Mm-hmm. And even regular Mexican salsa, get yourself a nice bowl of whole milk. Do not eat non-fat or low-fat yogurt. It's not good for you. But nice whole milk, preferably organic yogurt, and one of those nice sauces on top.
Oh, my God.
It's the best breakfast.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is.
It is.
It is.
Okay.
He's fainting over here.
There was something you said that chermoula. Oh, I know, the standing. So the way that I have the lettuces, just use it as a dip, is in the best uses. But when I was planning the menu, we had just platters of deviled eggs. You'll like the story. Deviled eggs with the chermoula drizzled on top. And it's, I got to find the page because you're going to recognize the pottery. And you and I are both in love with this woman. And we're going to, I turned right to it. This one.
Which page is it?
Look,
oh,
here.
I saw that pottery.
Hiroko.
It looks like a persimmon.
Yeah, but
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's the woman who sells at the farmer, the Japanese woman.
Hiroko.
Hiroko. We're going to go to her studio.
Amazing.
Her pottery is amazing. So anyway, we had the deviled eggs with chermoula, and then I had platters of the leaves that you pick up a leaf, and then in the center was feta and green peppercorn creamy dressing. And it was so funny. The staff came back and said, everybody would like an appetizer plate. And somebody turned to me and they said, you're the chef. Tell them no, because I'm there. What? And I said, no, they can't have a plate. They have to eat with their fingers. I said, it's like the whole point.
Flavor.
The whole point isn't just take some of that lettuce, put it on your plate, and spoon the dressing up. Pick up the leaf and dip it.
Right, right.
They did, and they loved it.
Exactly. And don't stick your fingers in rosemary before you pick it up. This page is, the pictures are fantastic.
That, you know, I was really lucky. I convinced them to hire me as the stylist.
They're beautiful.
One of the problems I have, and this happened with, I think it happened with my polenta book. The food doesn't really look like mine. And some of the photographs look good, but some of them don't. And for the most part, these are the pictures in the photographs in the polenta book, if you want to see those.
Yeah.
And it's a complaint I have about a lot of cookbooks.
Yep.
They're too dry.
Right.
They don't, it's like, oh, that's dry. That's not how it should look. That's not how it should taste. And it doesn't, somebody who doesn't do this for a living isn't going to have those thoughts, but they're not going to be drawn into it. And
right.
I wanted everything to look really succulent and to just draw. I wanted you to want to reach down to the page and pick up that deviled egg.
It doesn't look phony.
Right.
They look
Thank
really
you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I mean, I have a thing with cookbooks and those phony baloney pictures that you're never going to make that. At least I'm never going to make that look like that. I'm a slob. It's going to be a mess, but it's going to taste good. So,
and you also know that in some of those pictures, you know, the chef has had, 15 sous chefs working on it.
Exactly. Those little tiny bowls of stuff.
Yeah. Did you ever see, I have to ask you this, and I can't really I don't know if I can say the whole thing. Hubert Keller, the chef in San Francisco, Fleur de Lis.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely man. His wife, Chantal, lovely man. He did a cookbook. I think it was in the early 90s. One of the photographs, when I'm looking through the book, do you know the one I'm talking
about? No.
Okay. I look at the photograph, and I had to do a double and then a triple take. And I said, I can't believe anything this blatantly and explicitly phallic got into a book. There's no way. You don't have to have a mind that goes to those things quickly to see it. It's like, what? And every now and then I'll think about that and I'll think, maybe I just exaggerated it. Maybe it was something going on with me that day and I looked and I just read something into it and I'll go and I'll look and I'll think, no. The art director and everyone else really fell down on this particular photograph.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And I can't imagine he serves that in his restaurant. There's just no way. Everybody would be falling. You know, all the prissy people would be, like, sort of offended and picking at it. And everybody else would be falling on the floor, cracking up.
Cracking up. Phallus on the hard show.
Exactly. And it wasn't gooey duck either.
Oh, God. Oh, God. So that's one of the things that I noticed particularly about this cookbook is how well the pictures are. Even the picture of the little, which is on page 13, the little bubble. I never knew what a balloon whisk was.
Oh, I wanted that picture. That is in there in particular.
It's a beautiful picture on the wood.
That's the cutting board I use every day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the wooden cutting boards. Love that section, too.
Let's talk
about wooden cutting boards.
Okay, well. We got plenty of time. You probably knew, anyone listening probably knows that in the 80s, they were trying to sell everybody plastic cutting boards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running a restaurant at the time saying, you know, the Brass Ash, which became Northlight Books.
Yeah.
We had this huge, fabulous, fabulous wooden counter it was actually a whole wooden table.
It was 8 feet long?
Yes.
We used it.
Yeah. We didn't have to get rid of that one, but everything else they wanted us to get rid of and replace with stainless steel.
Yeah.
We couldn't use wood and even the one, and then they wanted us to put plastic on top of the wood before we used anything.
Oh my God.
And they start, and anyone who opened a new restaurant throughout much of the 80s, they were required to use those horrible plastic things, which, by the way, are very difficult on your knives. They ruin your knives.
Right, and they're also disgusting.
Yeah, they're disgusting. Well, the University of Wisconsin and a couple of other places finally did some actual tests.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that you can take a plastic cutting board, you can put it through the dishwasher, and that was one of the reasons health departments like it.
Right.
It would retain about, I think it was 45% of the bacteria. A wooden cutting board, just washed with soap and water like you would normally wash it, would naturally have 98% of the bacteria would be gone. There's natural, it's a natural function of wood.
That's what it's for. Yeah.
And, you know, that just confirmed everyone's if you're an intuitive person, you knew there was something wrong, something smelled wrong. So I was doing a story about this when I was writing for The Independent. I was doing a story on wood because the study had just come out. And Gary Michelim? Did you know him?
Mm-mm.
He was one of the made food inspectors for a while. And I called him.
I don't know him.
Yeah. And his wife, her first name starts with a P. She's a poet. And I think Gary is a lovely photographer.
Uh-huh.
He's retired, you know, lovely man, but no person working in that position in the health department can ever be described as lovely while they have that job. So I called him up. And
so true.
He wouldn't give it. I said, so what do you think? You know, the study, we allow restaurants to use either. And it was still sort of like, we recommend plastic, but we do allow restaurants to use it. I wasn't getting anywhere with him. And I finally said, I caught him off guard, and I said, what do you use at home, Gary? Wood! He used wood!
Yep.
So get rid of those horrible plastic things that are ruining your knives. Look really ugly.
They are ugly.
And get yourself, we have so many wonderful woodworkers here. go to the farmer's market and get yourself a nice cutting board.
What do you think about bamboo cutting boards?
You know, they're not good for your knives.
I hate them.
Yeah, I got some.
I want to love them, but I don't.
I got three in, you know, small, you know, varying mm-hmm. sizes because I thought we might be able to use them for the photo shoot.
Yeah.
And I'll use them when I don't want to get, like, I'll use the little,
ones. Yeah.
But what I'll do is, say I cook a piece of salmon or a skirt steak. I've been cooking lots of skirt steak lately. That was the main course, skirt steak with warm fava vinaigrette.
Oh, the fava vinaigrette. When I read that, really my heart stopped mid-beat. I thought, oh my God, this is like nirvana.
So good. Anyway, I'll take the little piece. Because, yeah. You know, you have to, you really want meat to sit for a couple minutes before you slice it.
Yeah.
For the juices to go back into the cells. So I'll just take that little... a little cutting board, mm-hmm. and let it sit on that for a couple minutes. But yeah, I'm not, you know, they also stain terribly.
Yeah.
And you can't sand them to get the stain out like you can good hardwood.
Good hardwood. It's harder to find a hardwood cutting board now.
Yeah, partly because Carl Hagerhorst died.
Oh.
He made the most beautiful cutting boards up in Healdsburg. Mm-hmm. But there are, if you go to farmers markets, okay. you're more likely to okay. find them. There's some really beautiful ones.
Okay.
And I think they're going to interrupt us again.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to break in and say this is Pledge Break. And since you are listening to public radio, if you want to continue hearing tips like this on wooden cutting boards from women who have very few well-stated opinions. I mean, they're somewhat shy about stating their opinions. Kirby and I are sitting here just laughing. we're having trouble choking back the laughs so that we don't show up on microphone. But go ahead and call us. We appreciate the calls we've been getting, and people are loving the cookbook. It's a great, great premium for a $60 donation to KRCB. And
should tell him the cover price.
Oh, I don't know. What is the cover price?
$16.95.
So $16.95, and for a $60 donation to KRCB, and give us a call at 707-584-2020. We'll answer your phone call, and you'll get this terrific cookbook. I actually have my pledge form filled out, and I'm going to turn it in, and I'm going to get a copy
cool.
of it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm thinking that we might be able to encourage some autographs or some... sign at least one or two.
I will sign any book that goes out as a premium during Mouthful, or if somebody goes online. That I should just say, not or, but that includes membership online that requests the book. I will definitely sign the book before it goes out to you.
I would even sign it too.
There we go.
Okay, now
awesome.
There's a deal.
Right. And I will promise not to sign it.
And Kirby's not going to sign it.
But I do want to say, I'd like to join my voice to Mike's and say thank you for the folks that have called. And I have a special thank you to Jen, who called from Burnside Road in Sebastopol.
Awesome.
And just she had already made her contribution for this year and just couldn't stand not having your book.
Oh.
So... I felt like that had to be transmitted personally.
And I actually know, I think I know who that is. And she has some beautiful sorrel and miner's lettuce in her garden. So she is going to love some of these salad dressings because those are two of my favorite greens.
Well, I'm planning to get one of these. I can guarantee you that. Because I'm listening to you guys talk here this evening, and it's given... one of the expressions I used to hear when I was a boy growing up in Tennessee, it has given that a whole new dimension. My dad used to say, honey, would you finish dinner up? I'm about to hungry all over myself.
No, I have never heard that, and that is wonderful.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly how I've been sitting here feeling, listening to your passionate voices mm-hmm. talking about all this wonderful food. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, if anybody out there has been listening to this and feeling that same way, give us a call here. Get a copy of this book and get excited about this.
And Michelle has lots and lots of the books, so, and the publisher has even more. So
yes, and I should say, I don't know if anyone else has said this. I think you said it. It's the number one selling book on Amazon on the topic. Which
yeah,
really
right.
stunned me. I have to say my agent, I have the best agent. You know my agent, Andy Ross.
Oh, God. Andy Ross is a genius and a wonderful guy.
And after selling Cody's, you know, Andy had his first bookstore here.
Mm-hmm.
Eeyore's on the square in Cotati, moved it to the shopping center where Oliver's is now, then bought Cody's, expanded to three places. Cody's bit the dust in part because of the people who, the Japanese company that bought it, and it was right at the downturn of the economy. Uh-huh. But no one knows books inside bookstores and book selling inside and out like Andy does, and his lovely wife Leslie is in charge of special events at right. Book Passage. So Andy knows how to monitor all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he gave me that news.
Andy's a genius.
Yes, he
and
really
he couldn't
is.
Have gone to a better place.
Oh yeah, for him to be an agent is just so natural. Yeah,
right.
That noise you heard was Joey thanking the caller that just called in to get the cookbook with their pledge to yes. KRCB. Our number again is 707-584-2020. I think we're going to take a very short musical break.
Okay, let me say one thing real quickly, because the book's website is on the cover. And I do need, it's on the back cover, and I do need to apologize. Saladdresser.com is not up yet. There's a page holder, and we're getting closer. But the wonderful, wonderful person who was going to be doing the website for me became very ill. I mean, mm-hmm. very ill. Yeah. Stage 4 cancer. Recently diagnosed. Didn't know why he was sick at the time. He just knew he couldn't do the website. So I'm working with Katie Stolman, who used to be here at KRCB, and I hope to have that website up in the next 2 weeks.
Good. We'll look forward to that.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so you wanted to take a little break.
We're going to take a really quick musical break, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Okay, are we on? Here we go. All right, so the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Michelle, was the best uses section,
mm-hmm.
which is my personal favorite section. And I, you know, the best uses of all these different kinds of dressings and what to use them for. The nice thing, how did you come up with that? I mean,
a lot of it just has to do with how I like to eat.
Yeah.
And I happen to have, I have a really good memory. I mean, I can tell you things.
Well, bully, bully for you.
But I mean, that means I have the kind of memory yes. where I can remember something I ate and loved and the taste of it when I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really great thing to have a good memory.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
It's not such a great thing at 3 a.m. or when you remember something really mean that somebody did to you in no. the second grade or that yeah. person who flipped you off on the road 3 weeks ago. I mean, I remember everything, not just things that I want to remember.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just based on having that kind of memory.
Right.
And having my imagination, my creativity is so tight, is so physical and tied up with tactile and sensory things mm-hmm. that it's just very easy for me to, I can taste something and then immediately, I mean, that's just one of the things I seem to have.
Right.
And so that was one thing. Is it's almost spontaneous in me. And then the other thing was trying to find a range of things that would continue to expand people's idea about how to use salad dressings.
Right.
And even to expand their idea of salads. When I mentioned skirt steak, when I love skirt steak. And one of the, I've one dressing, at its simplest, it has two ingredients. It has soy sauce and a whole lot of lime juice.
Oh, I saw that one. I love that.
So good. And you can dress it up by adding a little bit of toasted mm-hmm. sesame oil and toasted sesame seed. But what I do is I have a mound of arugula or a mound of lettuce, what, some kind of greens, slice 90 seconds per side on the skirt steak, slice it up, plop it on top of the greens, yeah. pour that soy sauce and lime, yeah. and you have a fabulous salad.
Yes.
And I wanted to expand people's concepts of salad, that it's not something either before or after dinner.
Exactly.
And John Ash, who lovely John Ash, he gave me a nice quote in, I think, his book about teaching. One of the things he says is vinaigrettes have been expanded to be used in every course
yeah.
and enliven things in a much lighter way than yep. sauces that were previously popular. So there you go. Best uses.
Best uses. Love best uses because it gives you lots of ideas. Lots of ideas. Okay, the name of this book is Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings, 60 Sensational Recipes to Liven Up Greens, Grains, Slaws, and Every Kind of Salad. And I'm telling you, this is a really fabulous cookbook. And Michelle, I will be back next week. So if you'd like to drop in.
Thank you. I hope I was a good guest. I hope I fulfilled your expectations. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thanks for being here.
You bet.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said. dinner now.